Happy Sabbath to all you lovely people out there. It is such a joy for me to be here with you today to celebrate another Sabbath day, a day whereby we can come and we can worship the Most High God. Thank you, Pastor Liverpool, for giving me this privilege to represent God before your people today. Let us pray. Dear God, we invite you to be here with us today so that as we listen to your message, it will bring hope and it will bring strength to our lives. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My message today is entitled, Overcoming the Giants in Your Life. One of the most fascinating stories in the Bible where a physical giant was defeated is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through to 11, we are told that the Philistine army, under the command of the mighty giant Goliath, had gathered between Sokah in Judah and Azekah in Ephesdamin to fight the army of Israel. Verse 2 tells us that Saul conquered by gathering his army near the valley of Elah. I want you to come with me and picture in your mind's eye the army of the Philistines ready for battle and the army of Israel cowering in the corner. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Goliath, the Philistine giant, and commander of the army of the Philistines came out and shouted, "Send me a man to fight against me." Now, church, I want us to note that Goliath was not an ordinary man. He was truly a giant in every sense of the word. A few years ago, the talk around town was about Shaquille O'Neal, the 7 foot, 300 pounds basketball player who smashed back the backboards with thunderous dunks. But not even Shaquille O'Neal was any match for Goliath physically. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, we are told that Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Bible scholars claim that he weighed as much as 600 pounds. That is, church, 3 feet taller and 300 pounds heavier than Shaq. To add to his massive structure, Goliath wore a bronze helmet. He wore a coat of mail that weighed about 125 pounds. He also had bronze leg armor. In addition to that, Goliath carried a spear whose head was as thick as a weaver's beams. We are told that the tip of Goliath's spear was made of iron and it weighed between 15 and 25 pounds. Goliath, church, was a well-trained soldier and he was prepared for any army that came his way. He had the most sophisticated weapons, and his army and his armor covered his entire body so that he could not be penetrated. If that was not enough protection, Goliath had an armor bearer who went before him. When we talk about being physically ready for war, Goliath was. But not only was he physically ready for war, he was also mentally ready. Goliath was the most self-assured and confident soldier out there in the battlefield. The Bible tells us that every morning for 40 days, Goliath would come out and challenge Saul and his army. Goliath boasted about being the most powerful giant in town. Goliath boasted about being strong and powerful. Goliath boasted that he was going to totally destroy Saul and his army. In verse 8, Goliath shouted, "Why did you come here to fight me? Don't you know that I am a Philistine champion? Don't you know that I'm a giant who is highly skilled and powerful? Why did you come here to fight me? Don't you know that I am unbeatable? Don't you know that I am the GOAT, the greatest of all times?" Goliath laughed in their faces. He taunted them about being Saul's servants who were incapable of fighting him. Like a true warrior, Goliath instilled fear into the army of Israel. Every day, the Bible tells us, Goliath would send out a challenge. I could imagine he would begin his challenge by saying, "Hey, you cockroaches, why are you here wasting my time? Choose a man who is brave enough. Choose a man who is strong enough and bold enough, and let's meet down here in this valley and fight this thing out like two warriors. If he kills me, then we will be your servants. But if I kill him, then you will be my servants." Church, you would think that being a part of the most powerful army, Saul or one of his mighty men of valor would have quickly answered Goliath's challenge and shut this blasphemer up. But verse 11 tells us that Saul and his men became deeply shaken and terrified. Can you believe that, church? Saul and his men were afraid of Goliath the giant. How quickly they had forgotten the awesome power of the living God. They forgot that the God they serve is greater than any human being. They forgot that all through their history, the Almighty God had been fighting for them. They forgot that their God had parted the Red Sea and delivered them from the Egyptians. They forgot that God had delivered their enemies into their hands and given their lands to them. They forgot that by simply walking around Jericho and blowing their trumpets, that the walls came tumbling down. Saul and his men forgot that their God was not made of wood and stone. Saul and his men forgot that their God is the God who rules the heavens and the earth. Saul and his men forgot that their God had never lost a battle. Sadly, church, Saul and his men took their eyes off the Almighty God so that when they looked at Goliath, they were already defeated. How dare them forget the awesome power of the living God? How dare them run away like cockroaches and hide? How dare them insult their Creator and their God? Saul and his men saw Goliath, the giant, and they quickly forgot that their God is more powerful than Goliath. Saul and his men were defeated even before the battle had started. But today, I can shout hallelujah. I said today, I can shout hallelujah, for down there in Israel was a teenager named David. Not more than 16 years old and not taller than 5'6", who was not afraid to go one-on-one with Goliath, the 9'9" Philistine giant. The Bible tells us that Jesse had sent David to visit his three older brothers who were part of Saul's army, to give them food and to bring back word to him about how the battle was going. But when David got there, he was taken aback at the total disrespect by Goliath for his God. David was also disgusted by the cowardly behavior of Saul and his men. David could not believe what he was witnessing. How could God's army be so afraid of Goliath, a mere man? Did they forget that their God is the all-wise and all-powerful God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26 tells us that David went up to the frightened soldiers and he said, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to disrespect the armies of the living God?" I could imagine the soldiers saying to David, "Wait, bro, that's Goliath, the most powerful man on earth. Not only is he a giant, but he has the best armor, the heaviest spear, and he's a well-trained soldier who is unbeatable." But today, I thank God for David, because David was not impressed by Goliath's physical stature, neither was he impressed by Goliath's army. David didn't care that Goliath was ripped and was stronger than any man out there on the battlefield. David knew that the God he serves is more powerful and greater than any giant on earth. David knew that the God he serves is able to do more than we can imagine or think. David knew that the God he serves could defeat this giant Goliath who was disrespecting his people and their God. So David said to the men, "Take me to King Saul, for I will go and fight this Philistine who continues to disrespect my God." The Bible tells us that when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard of David's plan, that he got angry and tried to discourage David. But David knew that there was no possible way that he was going to allow this Philistine Goliath to continue to defy and disrespect his God. His mind was made up. No one was brave enough to take the challenge at hand, so he must do the job. Bible tells us that when David came before King Saul, David said, "Don't worry about this Philistine. I will go and fight him, and the God of heaven will deliver him into my hands." That, I say, church, is faith. As the song goes, some trust in chariots, but today I say David trusted in the name of the Lord. Saul tried to discourage David. He came up with all the reasons why David was not able to fight Goliath. He said, "David, don't be ridiculous. There is no way you could go and fight this giant and possibly win. You are only a boy, and he has been a man of war from his youth." At this point, many of us would have given up. Many of us would have felt defeated. But not David. Not only was he able to tell Saul about his experience with the lion and the bear, but he was able to tell Saul that through God's strength, he had killed them. David was careful not to attribute his success to his own prowess. He gave the glory to the Almighty God. You know, as human beings, we have the tendency to want to take the glory when we do great things. But David did not make that mistake. He knew that his victory over the lion and the bear came because of God's power. But at this point, Saul was out of options. He was not brave enough to fight Goliath, neither was any one of his mighty men of valor in his army. So, reluctantly, he said to David, "Go ahead, my son, and may the Lord be with you." Over in verse 38, we are told that Saul gave David his armor and his spear and his helmet. But when David began to walk in Saul's armor, it was too heavy for him. So he said, "I can't go in these. I am not accustomed to these sophisticated weapons and armor. All I need is 5 smooth stones, my sling, and the power of the Almighty God." So armed with only his sling and staff, David went across the valley to fight Goliath, the Philistine giant. The Bible tells us that when Goliath looked up and saw who was sent to fight him, he flew into a rage. Goliath felt disrespected. He must have been thinking that the Israelites were taking this battle for a joke. As Goliath looked at David, he appeared to be the size of an ant. I want to imagine that the veins in his head began to pop out of anger. So he sneered at David in contempt. He said, "Am I a dog that you should come to me to fight with a stick?" Goliath proceeded to curse David and to tell David how he was going to rip him apart with his bare hands and feed his body to the birds of the air and the wild animals. Goliath was overtaken in anger, but David calmly said, in a loud and confident voice, so that everyone gathered there on the battlefield could hear him, he said, "You come to me with a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of Israel, whom you have defied." Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you by cutting off your head. Then I will give your dead body and the bodies of all your soldiers to the birds of the air and to the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is indeed a God in Israel. Everyone assembled here will know today that the Lord rescues his people, not with swords and spears, but with his mighty hands. Yes, church, this is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. And just like that, the battle was over. We are told that Saul pushed back his helmet, and David let his sling go, and the rock flew and smacked him right into his forehead. The Bible tells us that Goliath stumbled forward, and he fell. And with the swiftness of a cat, David ran forward, cut off Goliath's head, and the battle was over. Like Israel, like David, we too have to face and overcome the giants that are in our lives. But in order for us to face and overcome the giants in our lives, we must firstly be willing to identify the giants that are in our lives. So today I say to us, church, what are the giants in your life? For some of us, our giants may be loving the things of this world more than we love God. For others, it may be an obsession with sex and pornography. For some of you, your giant may be spending too much time watching TV instead of studying the Word of God. For some of you, your giant may be the love of money. It may be gossiping, lying, envy, hatred, jealousy, coveting, and I can go on and on and on, making a list of what giants you may have in your lives. But whatever your giant is today at church, I say to us that we got to be willing to identify the giants that are in our lives. Whether your giant church, whatever your giant is church, you got to be willing to say, Lord, I want you to help me to defeat and overcome the giants that are in my life. Because if we are not willing to identify the giants that are in our lives, then we all will be defeated. The giants in our lives sap us of spiritual strength and strip us of our faith in God. They plant seeds of doubts in our minds and sow discord among God's people. The giants in our lives cause us to doubt the very existence of God and His ability to provide. They cause us to doubt God's ability to protect and to heal. And they crush us and make us into spiritual dwarfs. And eventually, they snuff our lives out of us. If we want to defeat the giants that are in our lives, then we have to follow the method that David followed. There are three basic steps that David followed, and I want to share them with us today. Step number one, spend time in quiet solitude with God. David, while tending to his father's sheep, he got to know God, and they became friends. David learned of God's goodness in nature. As he looked upon the hills and the trees, the flowing brooks and the streams, and all the beautiful flowers, David felt secured. He learned to trust God in everything. He learned how to depend on God for everything. That's why he was able to pen in Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." As David spent time in nature, studying and learning about his creator God, he developed an unbreakable relationship with God. He learned how to let go and give everything to God. I want us to know today, church, that taking care of sheep was no mean task. Unlike goats, sheep are very timid and always need protection from the shepherd. They are considered to be dumb and always need guidance from the shepherd. David had to stay in constant contact with God for wisdom and strength to be a successful shepherd. David had a place where he would go every day, whether it was under a tree, beside a brook. He had a place set aside where he would go every day and commune with his God. It was in those quiet moments where he and God really became friends. It was during those moments that he learned how to trust God in everything, so that when he came up before Goliath the giant, he never doubted, not for even one moment, that God was going to deliver him into his hands. David had seen the majesty and power of God in every aspect of nature, and he never doubted, not for even a moment, that God was going to deliver Goliath into his hands. So, the first secret to overcoming and defeating the giants in our lives is to spend quality time with God. Earmark that room in your home where you can go undisturbed and pour out your soul to God. Tell him about all the issues that you are facing at work. Tell him about that unreasonable boss. Tell him about that unfaithful husband or wife. Tell him about that wayward child who continues to disrespect the word of God. study his word, claim his promises. And I tell you, church, you will definitely succeed. Read about the experiences of those who were able to overcome, men like Joseph, who refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife, men like Daniel, who continued to pray 3 times a day, even though a decree was sent out that anyone found praying would be thrown in the lion's den. Men like the 3 Hebrew boys who refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. We have to read about the experiences of women like Ruth, who said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." We have to read about the experiences of women like Esther, who said, "I will go into the king, and if I perish, I perish." Yes, church, we have to learn how to depend on God to fight our battles for us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the first step is to spend quality time with God. Second step that David followed was that he had a memory of what God had done for him in the past. Saul tried to discourage David from going to fight Goliath. But David knew what God could do. David knew what God could do because when the lion and the bear attacked his flock, he was able to defeat the lion and the bear through the strength of God. Yes, church, David was able to kill the lion and the bear, but he didn't do it all by himself. David killed the lion and the bear with God's help. So when David got to the camp and he saw Goliath and heard him disrespecting his God, David never doubted, not even for one moment, that God was going to deliver Goliath into his hands. David was able to tell King Saul about his experience with the lion and the bear, and how the Almighty God had delivered them into his hands. David said to Saul, he said, "This same God," he said, "this same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this Philistine giant." I am sure that we all have memories of what God has done for us and how he has delivered us. I remember a few months ago, I was riding on a Greyhound bus, going at maybe 65 to 70 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, the bus started to rock. And the driver was fighting desperately to keep the bus under control. A tire had blown out. And so I began to pray, "Lord, please, please save us." And after trying for what seems like an eternity, the driver eventually was able to bring the bus under control, but not until after crashing into the side rails. Thank God that day no one got hurt. I called upon God in my hour of need, and he answered my prayer. Yes, church, whenever we call upon God in our hour in need, he will deliver us. So to be successful in overcoming the giants in our lives, we have to remember how God has been for us in both the good times and the bad times. We have to stand firm and never lose confidence in the Almighty. For he who has begun a good work in you is able to take it to completion. God has promised to be with us when we go through the storms of life. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could escape from the Egyptians. He delivered Jonah from the belly of the fish. He delivered Peter from prison. And he is still delivering his children today. He is faithful. He has been faithful. And he will continue to be faithful to the very end. There is therefore no need for us to be afraid. All we need to do is to remember what God has done for us in the past and go forth boldly. For the same God who defeated the giants yesterday will defeat him today and most certainly will defeat them tomorrow. The third and final step that I want to share with us today that David used in overcoming the giants in his life is that he recognized that the battle belongs to God. David recognized that the battle was the Lord's and not his. So he said to Goliath the giant, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." David recognized that the battle was the Lord's and not his. David recognized that in his own strength, he was no match for the enemy. David recognized that he was only an instrument in God's hand. And by allowing God to use him, he could be victorious over Goliath. Today, we need to remember that of ourselves, we can't change anything. It doesn't matter how loud we shout. It doesn't matter how much we kick and fight. It doesn't matter how holy we think we are. We cannot defeat the giants in our own lives or in our own strength. The only successful way to defeat the giants in our lives is to place them in the hands of the Almighty God. We have to learn how to let go and let God take control. We have to pray daily for strength to submit our wills to God. We have to learn to come to God and surrender all. We have to be able to say, "Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." For there is power, saints, there is power in letting go. The story is told about a group of people who were out on a cruise ship when an unexpected storm arose. Everyone became afraid because, according to the weatherman, this was going to be a very destructive storm. It was being predicted that anyone out at sea would perish. Everyone was panicking as they saw their lives flash before their faces. But suddenly, the captain's voice boomed over the loudspeaker, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to stop worrying. I know the predictions are very dire, but I am very experienced. I have been through many storms. I am no slouch. I know the way. Just remain calm, and I will take you safely to land." Today, church, I present Jesus as the captain who is saying, "Trust me, and I will deliver you from that ugly giant in your life." It doesn't matter what your situation may be. It is not too late to let go and let him deliver you. If you are sick, he can make you whole, for he is the balm in Gilead. If you are hungry, he can fill you up, for he is the bread of life. If you are thirsty, he can quench your thirst, for he is a well in a dry land. If you are broken, he can put you back together, for he is the master builder. If you are weary, he invites you to come and lay your burdens down, and he will give you rest. If you are lost, call upon him, for he is the way maker. If you are weak, He can make you strong, for he is the all-powerful God. Today, I want us to know that victory can be ours, for the battle has already been won. They killed him on the cross, but after 3 days, he got up, he conquered Satan, he conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered the grave. And because Jesus is a winner, all who come to him in faith are winners. Today, whatever your giants may be, we can overcome. We just need to place it at the foot of the cross, for there is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. Jesus invites us to come lay all our burdens down. I know this pandemic is driving fear in the hearts of men, but Jesus says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Whatever you are holding on to today, I submit to us today, church, that it is time for us to let go. It is time for us to surrender our covetous attitudes to God. It is time for us to submit our ungodly spirit to God. It is time for us to submit everything to God. For it is only when we submit and surrender to God that we can be victorious over sin. He reminds us that his grace is sufficient for us. How many of you want to defeat the giants that are in your lives like David? The signs are foretelling that Jesus' coming is very soon. It is time for us to wake up from our spiritual slumber and get serious with God before it is too late. How many of you are willing to say, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee"? How many of you want to have victory over those giants in your life? For God has promised in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the honor of sitting with him on his throne. So if we are willing to surrender and overcome, why not bow your heads as we pray? Father, we are so thankful that in you we find a faithful God. We find a God who is able to defeat and overcome any giants that may come our way. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made in sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And because of his victory, today we too have victory. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us to surrender. Lord, continue to transform us and make us into citizens of heaven. Oh, Father, purge us and purify us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.